morning. Now let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So yes, there were Jewish laws of purity. There were rituals of keeping things holy. That's what defilement means. Defiling is to make something unholy. And so Jesus, as you heard the kids a little hesitant, like Jesus is really talking about some bodily function here. Yes, I hear laughter in the back. Yes, because what Jesus is saying, it's not what goes in that defiles, it's what comes out. Because what goes in that is not nourishing to us goes out into the wherever. Right, the sewer. Yes, lots of translations for that word. Laborio. So it's really what's coming out from us as we talk, because it's what comes from our hearts. That's what makes us unholy. And Jesus speaks directly about what those things are, right? He says evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. Does those sound familiar?
No.
Yeah. No, okay. I'm glad she doesn't know those in that way. But they are pieces of the commandments. They're the things that come after the first three, which focuses, says to us that we are to keep our eyes on the Lord and worship the Lord, not take the Lord's name in vain, blah, blah, blah. And then what they call the other tablet, which is all the things that we need to do to make sure that we are not hurting each other. Let's talk with theft and stealing. Jesus says, thou shalt not steal. Now, Martin Luther, he wrote a small catechism that then goes on to explain each of the Ten Commandments. And he explains it like this. He expands it. And he says that we are to fear and love the Lord so that we are not to take our neighbor's money or property, nor acquire them by using crooked deals, I'm going to say, or shoddy merchandise. But we are to help them improve and protect their property and their income. So stealing isn't just about breaking into someone's house and taking something that doesn't belong to them. It goes much deeper than that, doesn't it? It says that we are not to not only take things in a way that is dishonest, but we're to help them keep whatever they have. So that runs into the perspective of looking at things as equality in wage levels, wealth disparity, persistence of poverty that's happening in our world, right? Jesus is calling these things out. Financial regulation and the need for that. All of these things fall under that particular commandment. And it forces us to take a really good, hard, deep look at our relationship with our things and with our money. That's what stealing, thou shalt not steal, means. There's the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. We are to fear and love God, Luther says, so that we don't tell lies about our neighbors. We don't betray them or slander them or destroy their reputations. Instead, we come to their defense, we speak well of them, and we interpret everything they do in the best possible light. Notice false witness and slander are in there together when Jesus talks about what can come from our mouths. Do not slander. Do not speak lies. Do not use words that hurt. Because speech and what we say matters. Words matter. Words mean something. In the Old Testament, let's take a look at the very beginning where we hear the poetry, the beautiful, beautiful poetry of in the beginning when the world was created. God spoke the world into being. God used words from nothing. In speaking, God created something. Let there be, and there was, and God said it was good. How about the story of Isaac? Do you not love that story? Is that not us? Can we not identify with that story? Two brothers, right? Jacob and Esau. Two brothers that are totally different. And the father is dying. The older brother is the one who is to receive the blessing. But the younger brother is the one, with the help of his mother, by the way, who tricks Isaac, who can no longer see, into bestowing the blessing upon the wrong son. And guess what happens? When that blessing is spoken to Jacob instead of Esau, that blessing is done. It has been spoken. That blessing is the blessing of the passing of the inheritance. And guess what? It cannot be taken back. You know, in today's world, we'll say, okay, I made a mistake. I mean, just start over. It doesn't work like that. It was spoken. Spoken words meant something, and you cannot take it back. The spoken word was always a word that was alive. How many of you have heard deals being done on the golf course where hands are shaken and someone's word is given? Carl's father used to work on Wall Street. Someone would call him up, say, I want this trade. And even if that trade or that stock tanked, you couldn't say, no, I didn't say that. Your word meant something, even if you lost tens of thousands of dollars. It meant something. We seem to have forgotten all of that, especially in the midst of us watching reality TV, where whatever the heck we want to say, we just say. And we say hurtful things to people. And that just becomes the norm, and it's okay to do that. Emily Dickinson, in her poem, number 89, says this: a word is dead when it is said. Some say. I say. It just begins to live that day. Words mean something. Words make up our language. How many of you have heard this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but
names will never hurt me.
Yeah, or you might have heard, or words will never hurt me. Is that true?
No.
Of course not. It is the biggest lie that we have all bought into. No, words hurt. Language, words, are the way we communicate. The role of language and words is to express and to assign meaning to something. And Martin Luther understood, the reformer understood, that words do something. Some words have little influence, right? For example, you can see a stop. Most of us will stop. It tends to have some influence over our life, but do we always stop at a stop sign?
No.
Thank you. Mommy, I think she just ratted you out. No, we don't always stop at a stop sign. We are bombarded by messages on our phone, and we just flip through, right? Because there's so many words. Some words have no influence. However, some words have significant influence in our life. And Luther understood that words, when spoken, do something to us. I have a wonderful little skit that I want you to see. It's a clip from the show Seinfeld. There are three words. Wait. Can we roll it back or no? Okay, thanks. So, there are three words that, when we say them, have a huge impact in our lives because we're making a commitment. So I want you now to listen as best as you can. It's a little blurry, but this, I'm going to set it up for you. George Costanza, who's one of the characters, is telling his friends, Jerry and Elaine, that he's about to do something. And you'll see the reaction. Words matter.
Anyway,
exactly what it was that he had said. Words matter. He put himself out there and made himself vulnerable, extremely vulnerable. Because when you do that, you move into a special bond that's very powerful. Words can build up or they can destroy. They can tear down or they can lift up. When we speak words of love, it is such an intimate moment where two people are expressing their love and their commitment to each other. But when we speak words of hate, we kill, we hurt, and we maim. Even when we speak words of indifference, we kill and we hurt. And we maim. And we could see George being affected by the fact that there was indifference that was spoken there. We are called to speak words of life. We heard that today, Jesus saying, because words matter. And the reason why words matter is because the Word matters. The Word who became flesh and who dwelled among us matters. The Word, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, who came to teach, to heal, to save, and to give life. And this Word is the only Word that really matters. The Word, Jesus Christ, who through his death and his resurrection forgives and reconciles us, and through whom we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God with us today in our hearts. We are what we call a confessing church, a confessing people of God. And by confessing, I'm not talking about what we do in the beginning of our worship service. Yes, that's important, where we speak our sins. We confess them. But it's the speaking part. It's when we confess, we are making statements of faith. We are making statements of trust. We are making statements of truth. We don't say sometimes the Apostles' Creed because we see it. You sang it today. I believe in God. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that God will come again. You sang that in today's song. When you sing the song, We Believe, which we kind of redid today. We were going to sing We Believe, but we thought we'd blow everybody out of here by the sound of that. So we're trying to figure out the acoustics. But we say that, We Believe. All of a sudden, you're singing that in your heart. That is where you are confessing. You are making a statement about your faith and your trust in God and the truth. You know, the truth, which we seem to forget, is found in a person. It is found in Jesus Christ. That's how truth was started many, many, many years ago. But then when we got to the modern world, what we call the Age of Enlightenment, to rational thinking, everything now was truth, was grounded in statements, mathematics, scientific discovery. For example, the world is not flat, the world is round. We call that a truth statement. And so therefore, I can travel around and I'm not going to fall off. It was a truth statement. That's the modern world thinking. Then, today, in what we call the postmodern world, we talk about truth as based on our personal experiences, based on the culture that we've grown up with. What is true for me is based on my experience. I don't care what you tell me. This is true. We get to decide what truth is. How frightening is that? If we want to know how frightening it is, take a look at what is going on today. Because everyone will say, well, this is true for me. I don't care if it's not true for you. No, sorry, we don't get to do that. We as Christians, we go back to what truth is. And it's not what, it's who. Truth is a person. Truth is God incarnate in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we have to be grounded in. We have to be grounded in that truth. That truth that when we come to understand who Jesus Christ is and those words that we speak, Jesus Christ, the truth, that is what kills our self, our spiritual self, our self-truths, and brings us into a life together in the truth. The truth that sets us free, the truth that gives us life, the truth that is the great equalizer. That word matters. And so the words that we speak matter because that word matters. So on this day, as we go out into this world that is all bound up in speaking their own truth and how they see the world, may we come to understand that the truth is a person, God incarnate, Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit take up residence in your heart and my heart, that when we speak, that our words may give life. Not maiming, not killing, but that they give life because Jesus Christ is the only word that matters. So let us speak truthfully. Let us speak Christ. Amen.